You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the final day of the latest trading week. On the telephone now, therefore, for the 5 o'clock shadow is Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. And this podcast is proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Greg, I get the feeling, before we get into the JSE itself, that the next 48 hours might be the short-term panacea for the market. In other words, is panacea the right word? Sounds like an Italian bread, but it's not. I think it'll determine the short-term direction of the stock market in a very dramatic way, either to the upside or the downside. It's all to do with the Osaka G20 meeting and all the things going on in corridors, behind closed doors, etc. And you've got Xi, Putin, May, and of course the Trumpster, all sort of trying to wield their influence, with Mr. Trump obviously being the at center stage. It's going to be fascinating what comes out. And Monday morning, I'm actually quite looking forward to.
Yeah, but don't you often find in the market when you're looking at something's binary and that, you know, something that could move the market hugely, and we're all holding our breath the whole weekend, and when it finally comes, it's benign and it doesn't move the market, and it's a knock that can down the road for another month or so. So I'm not getting my hopes too high. Just taking the mood of traders here in the trading room this afternoon, a lot of people were expecting a month-end, quarter-end, so on, a push of the market up, hasn't materialized. So there's a little bit of, the guys are heading much quicker to the pub than they normally do.
Of course, it is. I forgot all about that. It's the end of the week, end of the month, end of the quarter, and end of the half year. I forgot all about that because on my screen it says it's the 28th. On Monday is what, July the 1st?
Yeah, so yeah, we always push into the last Friday of the month, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're quite right. You've built up your expectations. I mean, I built my expectations for the Liverpool-Tottenham European Champions League final in Madrid a few weeks ago. And, I mean, I was in a state of apoplexy for 3 or 4 days. And then when the match came along, I thought, oh, what am I doing? Actually, I switched over and watched EastEnders or something like that. I think it was, but yes, I know what you mean. Anticipation is often more delicious than the actual result.
Yeah, and the lady running onto the field to try and have a bit of a game. That I think that was the highlight of that game.
Yeah,
but hopefully we don't have a repeat on Monday.
Well, Mr. Trump will grab her by the... anyway, let's have a look at what has happened today so far, Greg. And maybe just as it's 5:15, as we pre-record this podcast, maybe give us the closing indexes as a backdrop to our future conversation. Off you go.
Yeah, sure. Disappointing, as I was saying there. The bank's down 0.62. Not a disaster, but no rally. Financials down 0.35, industrials down 0.40, retailers managed to go up 0.28, gold shares hardly let us down up only 0.38, Platts up 0.67, resources up 0.48. So that left the market up 0.16%, 92 points better, 58,159. 15.7 billion, the value of trade on the JSE today.
It's probably the biggest for the week, actually. I think the last one was 15.6 or something. But anyway, it hasn't broken 20 billion on a daily basis this week. Let's have a look at a few of the SENS announcements. Oh, Transex came out with a trading statement at 7:30 this morning, and at 16:50 this afternoon, i.e. around about half an hour ago, they came out with their results.
Yeah, the rule says that as soon as you become aware, they must have been aware this morning. But yeah, the results more or less in line with what they gave us this morning. Mm-hmm. The share price up sounds massive, 33%. Yeah, it's 14 cents from 42 cents up to 56.
Yes.
And it does, I'm just looking at the screen, it does look as though the Arsenal buyers at that level. But it only turned over 20,000 shares today, 10,000 rands worth. So a shadow of its former self. This was once a big holding in the Remgro stable. Mm. And very often when Remgro's goodbye, that's time to get out.
Yeah, exactly. PSV Holdings Limited, abridged, condensed, consolidated results for the year ended 28th of February. Now, there was a company that came out with results to the end of May. So forgive me, but aren't these people late? PSV Holdings Limited, what happened?
You probably find they've got a grace period of scrolling furiously to try and see who the auditors are. I should imagine it's not Pricewaterhouse. But the share didn't trade. It buys at 11 cents and sells at 22 cents. I mean, if I remember correctly, this is one that I think you and I were involved in the listing in the Greenwich days, but
what does it do?
Definitely something in the IT space, but I can't be certain.
I thought it was a construction company. I mean, we're obviously showing our ignorance here, Greg. It's listed on the exchange. Here we go. No, see, I was right. PSV is an industrial engineering holding company comprising two operating business segments, namely industrial supplies. Well, it's closer than you anyway, which includes steel, piping, industrial tools and consumable supplies, and specialized services, including comprehensive cryogenic and gas systems and the supply of installation of geosynthetic linings. One of your one of your areas of expertise, I think.
Yeah, geosynthetic. Yeah, it's come a long way in the last few years. So yeah, interesting business, but probably falling under most people's radar. A market cap just under 100 million.
Okay, Tolgot Hewlett has seen the resignation of a non-executive director, probably getting out before the hits the fan.
I believe the Hawks have popped in a few times at Tolgot. So yeah, things are going to get interesting.
Yeah, I can't really see anything else on the Stock Exchange News Service announcement. I was hoping to find something that would flummox you. PBT Group Limited.
But I think we did this one a while back when it had its trading.
Okay, well then if we did it, then you must know what it is. These are the results for the year ended the 31st of March. PBT Group Limited. It's traded. It's up nearly 14%.
There you go. They're liking the numbers. But yeah, I think they did give us a trading update some time back, and so most of the information was in the trading update.
Okay, let me tell you what it is. PBT Group provides data and analytics solutions and services that capitalize on data-driven insights. Now, if you have a look at that sentence, what does that mean? Can I read it to you again?
Data-driven insights. So
let me just read it to you again. I want it to sink in.
Okay, let me try. Okay. Yeah.
Listen carefully. PBT Group provides data and analytics solutions and services that capitalize on data-driven insights to make well-timed, intuitive business decisions that consistently position our clients ahead of the curve.
I suppose they gather data of social media and what have you, and if a lot of people are clicking on castle lights or talking about it, they'll say to their prospective advertisers, that, you know, that's a product that's very popular around the centenario and so on.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything about it. I just think their PR company could say, this is what we do and this is what it means. And if you are doing this, then this is what it means to you. What did the share price do today?
Yeah, up 13.7% to 165 from overnight 145. The turnover again quite low, 23,000 shares, which is just under 40,000 rand.
There's people that will spend more than that at a whiskey bar in Sandton tonight.
Correct.
Greg, let's have a look now at what's happening overseas, because the calm before the storm is the feeling that I get. Give us the S&P, NASDAQ and Dow and FTSE, if you would.
All right. Well, let's start with the Dow. It's at the moment up 32 points. The FTSE up 10. It's actually been quite sort of lackluster this weekend, the FTSE, this last week or so. The NASDAQ at the moment up 16 points, S&P up 5 points. As you say, we're going to be holding our breath for some sort of tweet on perhaps Sunday evening.
Indeed.
To give the market some comfort,
Dollar rand is 14.13, British pound against the rand 17.96, and the euro rand is 16.09, and the euro dollar 113.86, which shows a weaker US dollar, stronger euro. And if it's a weaker US dollar, then as I scroll down, hopefully the gold price is higher, which it is, but not by more than this morning. In fact, it's down a couple of dollars since this morning, but in the last 24 hours, up a couple to $14.12 per ounce. Platinum up 13 to 827.5. Trade talks boosting the industrial metal, which is what it is. Palladium down a dollar to 1537.5. And the Brent crude oil price 66.23, down 15 cents per barrel. In the United States of America, treading water, Greg. Let's have a look at the movers today in a relatively small volume day of just under 16 billion. What went up and what went down on the JSE? I've got Glencore as the big mover to the upside.
Yes, the market probably really overreacting yesterday. I mean, it's very tragic events at the mine up in Africa, but the share price was getting knocked quite furiously. And very often when they're selling, people sell first and ask questions later. But once we asked a few questions, Glencore was probably oversold. So bouncing back to more or less where it was pre this disaster, up 6.9% at the end of the day, R49.28.
Vivo and Italtal we can discount, but Supergroup was up 2%. But the one I really want to look at is Implats from a technical point of view. Favorite stock of yours, 69.66 on the close, up 1.75%, one of the top five major movers to the upside. Technically, Greg, because it was down this morning, it's almost a small reversal pattern. It looks really good to me.
Yes, and so the opening, quite a few of our mining stocks were sold off, and I think it followed through from a trend from Australia where the mining stocks were knocked back. But within, as London came in, we found some buying. So in your low points on Impala today, R65.77, as you say, closing here north of 69. So nicely up, and I think it is quite a strong sign. It shows the old buyers waiting down at those levels to accumulate stock, and I think that dip this morning just encouraged more buying. It did 3.6 million shares, which is 250 million rand. So it definitely held its own in the mining space today.
On the downside, in the mining space, which didn't hold its own, Northern Platinum down 5.2%. Dis-Chem in the selling vitamins to Greg Davies space down 3.8%. Santam down 3 2/3. RCL Foods down 3 1/3. South 32 down 2 3/4. Dis-Chem again, incredibly volatile stock. And I'll say it again, when a stock or a security or a commodity or a currency starts to trade very, very, in a very, very volatile manner at one level elevated or one level downtrodden, means that there are people that are sort of positioning themselves and there will be a change of trend. I believe Dis-Chem is coming to the downside. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm just looking at an intraday chart of the actual trade, and there was a spike down with about 15, 20 minutes to go with a trade where the share traded, I'm just looking at the low here, just 24.99. So it looks like someone was trying to get out of a line of stock, wanted to get it done by the end of the day, and that quite aggressively sold the share off. But it's amazing how many times it's on our top five or up or down. It's just came quite a sort of free-floating, free base, really, where everyone's having a punt there. I think very often people be long clicks, short Dis-Chem, or the other way around.
Yes, indeed, which again goes to my point of the fact that there is something going on and people are positioning themselves. Maybe some people have got some big positions and they need to get out of them, and they do so, therefore causing that volatility. Greg, thanks for all your contributions this week. Just before we go, though, I want to talk about this evening's game between France and the United States of America. France are the hosts. USA are the holders. France are ranked number 4 in the world. USA ranked number 1 in the world. It's at the Parc des Princes in Paris, and it's going to be an absolutely huge game. There will be a massive, massive crowd there. They'll obviously be vocal for the French. It's a mouth-watering prospect, and yes, I really have started to embrace women's football.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out to me, and been getting home in the evenings and watching the games, and the standard is just incredible. And as you say, the atmosphere in the grounds, the amount of support, the fans getting dressed up in the colours, the flags on the faces. I just seem to tend to think that the French girls just look a little more, with a little more spark in them. So I think
what
they
do you
can
mean?
Go through. Just a little bit more attractive. Yeah.
Yeah, you see, that's the sort of sexism we don't need in football, Greg.
Sure.
They're there for their athletic prowess, etc. But one thing I will say on that note, there's been a lot of debate about women's games should get as much money as the men's game. And I say it's nothing to do with how good you are or what entertainment you provide. It's to do with the three T's: turnover, turnstiles, and television. It's simple.
Sure.
You get the turnover via the turnstiles and the television. If you're not earning as much as the men at the moment, which you will do in the future, but at the moment, then you can't be paid as much. It's nothing. There's no gender bias here.
No, it's one of those let the market decide. And if there's a product that they've got which is entertaining and you know, takes people's minds off their troubles for 90 minutes, then people will pay to watch that. And I think it's definitely starting to build momentum.
Definitely.
The quality of the game, you know, in the pace in which they play, very much on the standard of the men's game at certain levels.
How far are we away from a female driver in Formula One, the Formula One Grand Prix? How far are we away from a female football player playing the men's game? Because there's no restrictions on who should play. Do you think there's any chance in the next 10 years or within our lifetime, Greg, which may only be less than 10 years, that a woman plays for Manchester United?
Yeah, I wonder if, I mean, I don't know how the rules work. Certainly with Formula One, that they're going to battle just because of the physicality of it. And, you know, obviously the oldest sort of dividing line has been that testosterone, you know, men are just generally on a sports field a lot more aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if I was a teammate of a woman team playing Man United, I think just by my nature, I'd be overprotective. So I think that could sort of put people off.
I've known a couple of aggressive women in my time.
Yeah, we certainly have.
Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. Thanks for your contributions tonight and all week. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.